We've been in a series called Launching Your Faith. And if you're a guest with us this morning, it's perfect. They're self-contained lessons. You'll find them online as they are there. I think all of them are there except, as I say, just this one and from last week, and it'll be on. But this morning, we have an opportunity to experience the Lord even further in the flow of His river. And we're going to welcome Pastor Sherry as she comes. Thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Good morning, good morning. Again, good morning. You have two sheets that you're being handed out. And one is a scripture sheet. If you look at that scripture sheet, I'm not going to read all those scriptures, but as I get to that part in the end of the message, those are there for you to look at and go home to prove that what I'm saying to you is really valid, okay? I'll share a few of them, but not all of them. There's several there. On your handout, the class notes this morning, you will see every fill-in for you is already filled in. I did that last night, and I highlighted them in yellow. And instead of you having you fill them in this morning, this lesson is a little different from the others, just slightly, in that this lesson is really not doctrinal, not just doctrine. It's not objective. It's very subjective. So instead of you trying to look at your paper, look at the screen to see what's on there and write and fill in, I want you to just listen this morning. The notes are there. You can have them and refer to them, but I'd really like you to listen until the very end. And turn to page 2 of your handout, and you see there's lines there. Is it on page 2 or 3 of your handout? 3. On page 3, there's lines. When we get to that part, then I'll tell you, pick up your paper and start writing, okay? This is really simple. You don't have to leave now because you don't want to write. You don't. Honest to goodness, it's really simple and delightful. So, introduction. We're sailing on a journey about how to be genuine Christians and how to have faith alive in the 21st century. We've learned about genuine repentance, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are the beginnings of your walk with Jesus, but all of this is more than doctrine. This is a personal relationship with Him. Jesus is the Admiral. As we listen to the Admiral, He gives us strong instruction. It is imperative that we let Him know us. For you to make the most of your lives, you must be secure in your relationship with Jesus. When you experience that security, then your heart will be overflowing with love for Jesus and overflowing with love for those who surround you and are around you. You must have the security of knowing who you are in Jesus, letting Jesus know you. I want to share with you another dimension of our relationship with Jesus. In the scripture, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus is speaking. Now listen to what He says. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Iniquity, sin, wickedness. These people, they called Him Lord. But He said to them, "I never knew you." And the Message puts it this way. Knowing the correct password, saying "Master, Master," for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what? Do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. To know means to be aware of, to feel, to be acquainted with, to know in an intimate manner. Jesus isn't saying that they never knew him in that way. He's saying, I never knew you. You hear the difference? We might know all about him. That's not what he's talking about in these scriptures. He's saying, I never knew you. In Luke 13:26, he says, Then you shall begin to say, We've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me. This is what Jesus says about our relationship with him. We better heed and listen. I know ye not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. They are people who, one, have fellowshipped with him. They've eaten together. They've had communion. They've heard him teach. They've had doctrinal knowledge. But that doesn't cut it. He says, you didn't know me. No. He's not saying to them, you didn't know me. He says, I didn't know you. Big difference. Matthew 25:1-13 is the story of the 10 virgins. They say, Lord, Lord, open to us. He says, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. 2 Timothy 2:19 from the New Living says, But God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing can shake it. It is a foundation stone with these words written on it, The Lord knows those who are his. The message says, Meanwhile, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever. These sentences engraved on the stone, God knows who belongs to him. The bottom line isn't, haven't we evangelized, performed healings, cast out demons, built a church, known doctrine, or even known about him? The bottom line is allowing him to know us. To know us. If you're sensitive and sentimental at all, right now, pass that Kleenex box around the table. Okay, take the Kleenex boxes and just pass it. If you cry at movies, just pass the box and everybody take one that needs ones, okay? Because I want you to listen to a letter. And when I say dear, this is a letter written to somebody. I'm going to say dear, and every one of you can say your own name. Okay, I'm going to say mine too. So when I say my name, don't say my name. Say your name, because this letter is written to you. Dear Sherry. Oh, very good. Whoa. I think we should try out for something. That was great. All at once. How are you? I just have to send you this letter to remind you of how much I love and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day, hoping you would walk and talk with me too. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. Then I waited, but you never came. Oh yes, it hurt me, but I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night as I longed to touch your brow. So I spilled some moonlight on your pillow and across your face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened this morning and rushed off for the day. My tears were in the rain. Today, you look so sad and so alone. It made my heart really ache because I understand my friends let me down and hurt me many times, but I still love you. I try to tell you in the sparkling blue waters. I whisper it in the wind and breathe it in the color of the sky. I shout it to you in the majestic waves and give the whales songs of joy. I clothe you in warm sunshine and perfume of ocean fresh air. My love for you is deeper than the biggest want or the greatest need you could ever have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is on earth. I really do know because I was there, and I want to help you. My father wants to help you too. He's just that way, you know. All you have to do is call me, ask me, talk to me. It's your decision. I've already chosen you, but because of my love for you, I will wait until you ask me, your friend, Jesus. Amen. Do take time. We need to take time. In the morning, we wake up, we listen to the news, flick the TV on, we put our makeup on, we shower, shave, we do everything. But the most important thing is Him. You must believe that God is who He says He is as you come to Him in prayer. He is, and He is important. Hebrews 6 tells us, if you come to God, you must believe that He is. You must know that He will answer you. It's called entwining, to be braided together with Jesus. It's the only one way. We need to spend time with Jesus every day. Stay in His presence until you know, as Paul knew, that Jesus died to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Wow! Grace! I am holy before Him, not because of what I did, but because of what He did. I am unblameable. Quit blaming yourselves. Quit blaming yourselves. You are, because of what He did for you, unblameable. Unreprovable. Thank you, Jesus. Listen carefully. Many times the things that keeps people from God the most is their negative attitude about themselves. But you are God's friend because of what Jesus did for you. You will never get there by your works or by earning it or by trying to deserve it. Receive His grace, His love, and receive the fact that you are His friend. Grace, not works, puts you in this position with Jesus. Grace, He did it all, and He did it for you, and He did it for me. And I'm so thankful. Have anybody just tried to be a good girl or boy ever in your life? Huh? I've tried. Don't get depressed when it doesn't work. Or maybe you're all perfect, right? I'm not. I need His grace. And wow, when I see me as He sees me, things change. But you don't get that from the world. You don't get it from anything else. You get that knowledge from spending time with Him. Daria, you got it. You got it. Your heart was circumcised. And you began to experience that. It's down, it's deep, and it's inside of you. Can't be taken away. Can anybody steal it? No. You ask, how do I do it? I want to share with you some concrete ways to spend quality time with Him. Because I love you, Jesus, and because I want you to know me, to let Jesus know you, you must take time with Him. Sometimes you have to fight for time with Him. 1, take time. Proverbs 8:34. Happy is the man who is so anxious to be with me that he watches for me daily at my gates or waits for me outside my home. Wow! God is saying you will be happy if you spend time with me. How many people want to be happy? I want to be happy. I want to be a happy girl. I want to be around people who are happy boys and girls. Amen. Amen. Happy is the man who takes time to be with Jesus. Take time, wait, watch eagerly, and be expectant and focus on him. 2, we need to listen. We need to listen as we take time with him. The Living Bible says in Isaiah 55:3, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. Statistics show that 90% of the input that people hear every day is negative. In this age, in this present darkness, you need to hear what Jesus is going to say to you every single day, because the life of your soul is at stake. Turn on that computer, flip to the ads, and what do you get? Trash and negative input, right? Amen. Watch the news. You get negative input. What Jesus is going to give you is positive, the exact opposite of what you're getting in the media, any kind of media. Amen. You need to talk to him. We need to talk to him. We need to talk to him, not just talk to our best friends, our spouses. We need to talk to him. Make Jesus your best friend. Talk to him face to face and express your thoughts to him. And then we can write to him. We can let God know us by writing. I was really excited this morning as we were watching Robert Morris on TV, a great, great TV preacher. He's just awesome. And he was talking this morning about the importance of relationship with Jesus, and he was saying you need to pray, you need to read the Bible, pray, and then you need to write to him. That's right on. Express your thoughts about what you heard God say from the Word. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn to page 3 with the lines, and we're going to take some time. What can I write him? I've gone to seminar after seminar where they say, you need a personal time with Jesus, you need to be with him, you need to talk to him, and they never tell you how. And I go out frustrated. Well, that's great, but how do you do it? What do you do? What are the basics? Give me a clue. Give me something to fill in. Just help. So, these are some ways. 1, when you come to him, and this isn't on your page, I would suggest you confess your sin to him first. Just get it over with. He knows it anyway, but you say it. You say it. You are letting him know you, and you're pulling back the curtain. Come and see me, Jesus. I'm not hiding. I'm not hiding from you. Come into my life. You know that I thought this thought, even though I didn't commit the sin, still it was there and lurking around, and I want to get rid of it, so I'm confessing it to you. So confess your sin. Next step, believe that he heard you and receive the forgiveness that he's already provided. He provided that forgiveness for that sin 2,000 years ago. Receive it. It's yours. It's free. It's a free gift. It cost him everything, but to you it's free. Okay, then after that, celebrate a little bit. Do a little celebration. Break out that bottle of sparkling cider. Pour yourself a cup and say, wow, wow, I'm celebrating with you, Jesus. You've set me free. That's not there now. It's gone. It can't haunt me. Nobody can accuse me, and I can't accuse me. How can I accuse me of something that God has already forgiven me for? Where is the battle between these two ears, right? Right up here. Get rid of it. He provided a way for you to be set free. Amen. So one way we can do this is to write sweet somethings to him. Song of Solomon is filled with phrases about comparing your lover to nature, to God, to just that comparison of beautiful, sweet things. Okay, some of you have been in love. Some of you have to look way back. No. You're still in love with your spouses, right? Sweet somethings were something that you used to do when you first met that person. Jesus says, return to your first love. He tells one of the churches that. Return to your first love, those first feelings. So right now, we're going to write some kind of a little sentence. Look, I only gave you two lines. This isn't too much. Everybody can do it. Pick up the pens, even if you don't. I don't care if you know how to spell. These are not going to be graded. Okay? Just write some kind of a sweet something to him. It can be really simple. George, pick up your pen. Okay. Amen. Everybody, this isn't going to kill you. Just write something. It can be as simple as, Jesus, you're sweeter than honey. Just, I'm going to give you a minute. Now, as we go through the rest of these, I want you to each picture in your mind one of your favorite places on the earth. Was it a waterfall? Were you by a waterfall? Of course, I was by the ocean. Was it in a forest? Was it in a pleasant little cafe? Just a sweet, pleasant memory of some place you were. Now, as you write the rest of these, I want you to think of that place, and you're there. And guess what? You're not in a classroom anymore. You're not in a church. You're just sitting, talking to Jesus. You have a pen in your hand, though, okay? You're just being with him. We're taking a moment this morning to let him know us and what we're thinking and what we're thinking about him. So we can be infatuated with him. Those who are in love are infatuated with one another. That's what went wrong with the Israelites. They weren't infatuated with him. They turned to idols, and he was angry. He is a jealous God who desires us to be infatuated with him. He wants us to love him. Hosea 6:6 from the Living says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. Love. Let him steal your heart away. Write something to him that shows him that you're infatuated with him. You just can't keep your mind off of him. You really like him. Really, really like him. You like him better than your computer. You like him better than your computer games. You like him better than your flower garden. Ooh, stepping on a few toes there. Or your boat. Or TVs. If we were as infatuated with Jesus as we are with our favorite TV shows, the world could be turned upside down. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying that to me, too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Jesus, I know. He says, I'm loving this. You got them to write to me. Let me, do you realize how happy he is at this room this morning? Do you know how delighted he is? You're writing to him. Amen. He's happy. Adore. Mary performed an act of adoration to Jesus. Amen. She poured ointment on him. That was an act of adoration. He's a jealous God who desires us to adore him. What do you adore in life? How do you treat those things that you adore? For some of us, it's a husband or wife. For some of us, it's a pet. You adore? I adore Yummy. But I can't adore Yummy more than Jesus. Amen. Amen. You think, oh, I don't know about this one. Just think of all he's done for you. All the scrapes he's gotten you out of. All the sins that he's forgiven. And it's really easy to adore him. You know, I could do this and send you home with these and just have you write them when you get home. But Jesus wouldn't get the pleasure of hearing all of you talk to him at the same time. Amen. Hero. See him as your hero. Hebrews 7, 25, 26 from King James tells us that he is our hero, and it tells us that he is going to save us to the uttermost. That's what that scripture says. That's my hero. Amen. Jesus is greater than any other. He saved us from condemnation, trials, temptations. Have you ever faced a temptation that you didn't give in to because he spoke to you and you didn't give in to it? Because he sustained you and saw you through it, and so you didn't fall? Amen. What happens when we do that? We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate our hero. You took my hand and you kept me from doing that. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I was able to obey you. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't fall into that same trap of saying something yucky to my husband or my wife. Jesus, you kept me. You held my tongue. You knew I was mad. You knew I was angry, but I didn't act on it. Amen. He's my hero. Jesus, you're better than Russell Wilson. The neat thing is, Russell Wilson would say that too. That's really neat. You're better than Sean Connery. That, for this demographic, most of you can relate with that. Some of you can't, don't even know who Sean Connery was. But he was one of my heroes way back. Before Jesus. Amen. Amen. My son-in-law was in a conversation with his daughter, who is working at the Hyatt Regency down in Huntington Beach, California. She just got this job, and I guess two people were talking about favorite movies. Oh, it was at TSA, wasn't it, when he got on the plane? I get stories wrong sometimes, so it's kind of silly for me to tell them, but this was kind of fun. So TSA people are talking about their favorite movie, and one said The Sound of Music, and the other says, what's that? Oh, my gosh, David almost had a heart attack on the scene. Really? Wow, things are changing, right? Anyway. Who's your hero? Who's important to you? Who's done the very most for you? Nobody that walks this earth. Jesus Christ. He is your hero. So just thank him there for being your hero. Thank you, Jesus. You're my hero. And then this afternoon you can put a because and you can list all kinds of reasons why he's your hero. Intimacy. Be intimate with him. That's what he wants. Song of Solomon, 7 through 10 from the Living Bible. I am my beloved's, and I'm the one he desires. Two times before this, it's recorded, I'm my beloved's. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. This one says, I'm my beloved's and I am the one he desires. Wow. Guess what? Jesus desires you. Jesus desires you. Does that change our thinking a little? I can be intimate with somebody who desires me, not just somebody who I desire. But that puts a whole new face on it. He desires to be with me. As I give myself to that, as I give myself to him, that's the place where we need to be. John knew all about this as he wrote the New Testament. He had experienced it, and he says in John 13:23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. I love that. He's a little bit proud about his relationship with Jesus, but I can say that to you too. I can lean on him because I'm somebody that he loves. He loves me. Oh, we have songs so you can write. Jesus will never scold us for being too intimate with him. He wants to feel that closeness and for us to enjoy being close to him. He wants us to have that intimacy with him. In this day and age, things have changed. Families used to be different. Neighborhoods used to be different. Many of you experienced the 50s. Where everybody's neighbor, nobody used a key, everybody just walked in everybody's house. Those days are over. We've gone to a society where we know people on the internet. They never see us, they never feel us, they don't. Well, now with what's that thing? I can't say it. The one that shows a video of you, what's it called? When you FaceTime somebody? Okay, so you do see the face, but you're not in the same room, you can't touch them. Amen? Intimacy is a lost art. And what's happened is it's left us lonely. It's left us lonely and isolated. There is only one person who can really fill that void. And that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can really take that loneliness away. And you develop that in intimacy. It's there for you. It's there for you in abundance. But you have to be willing to give yourself to it and receive it. Relationship with Jesus is better than ice cream. But he'll never scold us for our getting too close to him. So write something really intimate to him. On those lines that you have. Just two little lines. Write something intimate. Passionate, be passionate with him. God has put passion inside of us for him. Turn your passion away from the world and the things that take you away from him, and that turn that passion to him. Passion means ardent, adoring, strong desire with boundless enthusiasm. Write something passionate to him. And you can be simple, crazy, simple. I wrote, I'm enthusiastically crazy about you. You are my everything. Be passionate. Tell him what he is to you with some passion. Amen. Three to go. Imaginations. It's okay to have thoughts and imaginations about Jesus. Psalm 104:34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. This is simple. Simply close your eyes, relax, remember where you are, that place, okay? Think about him. Just put your eyes on him. And then just write a sentence about what you just saw. Did you have an imagination? Was he sitting next to you on the boat? Was he sitting next to you on the bench or on the rock by the waterfall? Just a picture. And the last one, secrets. Tell him your secrets and take time to listen to his. This is the ultimate in friendship. In friendships. Remember when you got really close to somebody? Then what happened is you started to tell him your secrets. Right? He wants to be so close to us. It says in the Bible that he wants to share with us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He wants to tell us his secrets. So also, we can tell him our secrets. So go ahead and write a little secret. And you know, if you can't write it in real writing, just put the first letter or just scribble in, you know, any kind of scribblings, because you don't want anybody else to see that. Because after all, it is a secret, right? Some secrets and some secret desires with Jesus we really don't want to let anybody else know. That's why the gift of speaking in tongues is such a blessing to the body of Christ, because you can be with other people praying and you can pray in tongues and nobody knows what you're saying, but Jesus knows what you're saying. Amen. People have secrets. I like that. Jesus will show you one. And in closing, I want to say, delight in being friends with Jesus. Let him know you need him and you want him in your life. In that day, let him say, I know you. Continue in this, and Jesus will never say to you what he says in Matthew 7:21. I never knew you. Depart from me. Instead, to you he will say, come close, my friend. I know you, and I know you love me, and I want you to get as close to me as you can. Jesus wants us to get as close to him as we can, and he wants to get as close to us as we will let him. I'm all for letting him know me. How about you? Amen. Amen. Let's be a church, a body of believers who let Jesus know us. He's our best friend. He's all our best friends. And you know, as we all get closer to him, do you know what happens? We all get closer together. Amen. Because he's our best friend. He's the center of our lives. So we get closer. Because there's not all these other distractions. But he will never say, ever, to you, depart from me. I never knew you. And that's the bottom line. Amen. Instead. Oh. Oh, I know her. I know him well. Come, enjoy the kingdom with me. Amen. Pastor Kelly.
Beautiful.
There are no activator sheets. You just did your activator sheet. So you don't have to turn in an activator sheet. I kind of made you do it, okay?
Amen. Right there. Just turn it off that way. There you go. Musicians, will you come up? Isn't she a treasure to the body of Christ, to us, to our church, our lives? Man, I just appreciate it so much, Pastor Sharon. I believe, as you've taken time in the presence of the Lord this morning, if you'll remember and hold on to the things that Pastor Sherry has taught us this morning, it'll change your life for the rest of your life. This Jesus we serve is not a God far away who has abandoned his people, but he wants us in that kind of entwined relationship. He loves you. Come on, say it with me. He loves me. You believe it?
Yes.
He wants to know you and wants you to know him. He wants to know you and take time. What a great God. Amen.
Amen.
Great morning. If you're here with us this morning and you've never experienced this kind of relationship with Jesus or a personal relationship with him, I encourage you, it's the day to give your life to Jesus. There'll be people right over here who can bring you to him, lead you to Jesus. You know, as we've gone through launching your faith, we've been through repentance and water baptism, baptism of the Spirit, reckoning, all of those essential foundations and more to come. And yet right now, this was a crucial apex to have that. We've started right. We've got that right. But now what do? We hear him. We pour our hearts out to him. We live in a personal relationship. This is far more than just a subscription of doctrines, far more than just theology, far more than religion. Sincerely, this walk with Jesus is personal and intimate. How many feel like you grew this morning? Amen. Father, we thank you. Would you stand with me? We thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house. What a precious experience we've had with you, and we thank you for Pastor Sherry and her walk with you and how she shares with us the good things that you do and bring us to yourself in. We thank you so much, Lord, and we are so glad to be your people. Now, as everyone goes from this place, let them go with joy and let them go with love and grace, knowing how great you are. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.